everybody, and welcome to the Katie Weaver Show. This is Katie. I'm your host. I'm so happy to be here. If you are listening live, it is the 12th of August already. And if you're listening to an archive or a replay, I want to also welcome you to the show. I want to let you know that we are over in the 12 Radio chat room. You can head over there by going over to 12radio.com. That's number one, number2radio.com. Click on the chat button, and you'll be redirected into the Facebook chat. You can also find this as a live stream. And you can do that by heading over to YouTube or Facebook and look for Katie Weaver Domestic Mystic, and you'll find the live. So either way, welcome, and I'm glad to have you. I did also, in the chat room, you'll see my banner there, and I did put link to the live stream there as well, so that might be helpful. Yeah. And just so you know, it is 12 day. So 12 day is the day here in the 12 family that we celebrate all things 12. It's the 12th of every month. And what it really means is that we're on sale, a really good sale, over at 12listen.com. And so if you've been listening to me at all for a while, you know that I am a professional psychic advisor over at 12listen.com, and that's a place where you can connect with me and for a reading. It's the only place you can connect with me for a reading, in fact. So I put a link in all of the chats for my time-based session sale today, but I'm also going to be there most of the day at a great reduced rate as well. So easy ways to connect. You can do a time-based session so that we know how much time we have to chat, which is very helpful. You can, and just so you all know, if I'm signed in, I'm ready to go. So if I'm signed in, you are welcome to call me. Even if it's, you know, for an extended period of time, that should be fine. But you can also just call the lines. A lot of people do that. Or you can chat. That's an easy option as well. And lastly, I have some email reading options. And so if that's easier for you to do an email reading with me, you can do that too. Some of those are video readings where I literally make a video for you that looks just like this, answering your question, or you can just do a written as well. So lots and lots of easy ways to connect, and I would be more than happy to connect with you and help you out on anything that I can. But when to listen, I do a lot of energy work. I do a lot of psychic readings, some medical intuitive work. I do a lot of animal communication, a lot of animal communication at 12listen. And whatever I can do to help you. So there you go. And if you know, you know that I am over there 365 days a year. I work every single day. It would be a very rare event that I didn't, because I understand that when you become a person that people rely on for help, especially in the moment, because, you know, a lot of times when people call me at the listen, pardon me, on the lines, it's because they need something right now. You know, maybe they're having an emergency of some sort. Maybe they're having a really bad day. Maybe there's a decision that needs to be made immediately. Maybe there's a lost pet. You know, the list goes on and on. Or maybe you just are feeling way off and weird and you need some adjustments. That needs to be now. So I do everything I can to make myself as available to my clients as I possibly can on the lines. I will say this, if I'm not there, just do a callback request or a scheduled call. When you do that, then I get a text that lets me know, hey, this client is waiting for you or needs to connect with you, and I'll do everything I can to get back to you as quickly as I can. So that's how it works, but I would love to connect with you over there anytime at all. So again, that's at 12listen.com, number one, number2listen.com. Actually, I think I was going to put a banner up. Well, maybe I won't. Let's see. Oh yeah, that's fine. Okay. There you go. Okay. So how's it going? Mercury went direct yesterday, thank God. This was a weird one, I thought. But we've also had so many All the solar flares this last, I would say year, but even just this last, over the summer, there's been a ton of them muffing things up. And I know I've noticed that, especially technology wise. I did promise you a kiln opening last week. So I need to pull that up. We finally were able to open our big kiln, our new kiln. And that was, it's just exciting. It's crazy to see all this stuff and get to see it come out of the kiln. It's wild because glaze doesn't look the same after it fires. I mean, this kiln, this we are firing to cone 6, and cone 6 is about 2250 degrees. That's, as you can fathom, really freaking hot. And so when you're firing that high, the glazes change color pretty dramatically, and some of them go on. Like a lot of blue glazes actually paint on looking pretty reddish or pink, and then once they fire, they're cobalt blue. So it's interesting because I'm pretty new to ceramics and pottery, and I'm also pretty new to most of the glazes that I have, of course, obviously. So it's kind of interesting because you don't really know what you're going to get, but I wanted to share this with you. So that's our big new kiln. Here's the top shelf. I will say this astrology plate was not at all what I expected. It's still pretty cool,
And here's
but it's
layer number two.
not what I thought. There's layer number two, some fun stuff in there.
And here's the third layer, starting to get down to the bottom. And the very bottom. No major calamities.
No, actually, everything came out pretty dang good. Those plates that you can see in this, at the end of the video, the hex ones, are probably the thing that I was the most excited about. Those were hand built, and it's a glaze technique I was really excited to try. So that's how they turned out. But I love them so much. I put them right in my cupboard, right into motion. And obviously, this is a mix of my stuff and Scott's stuff, so you're seeing lots of spooky baby mugs and stuff like that too. But anyway, pretty fun stuff. Actually, super fun stuff and exciting stuff at my house. Yeah. Yeah, the plates are so much my favorite. There's this cauldron mug too that, or it's not a mug, it's a bowl, but it is really cool too. It just is so hard to do justice to it in pictures. But the technique I tried is called Starry Night. I would not say I think it did turn out exactly like, or not Starry Night, Northern Lights. I don't think I got the whole effect that I wanted, but pretty dang close. And that one was pretty cool as well. So anyway, I'm excited. Working on my next batch right now so that I can glaze and fire again. So, pretty fun stuff. All righty. Well, shall we? We spent the weekend honestly just celebrating so many birthdays. It was crazy. There we go. So many birthdays around in our world. My sister Kara is a Leo. And so are both of her kids and two of her stepkids, and her stepson married a Leo. So within about 2.5 weeks' time, we have all of those birthdays. Six birthdays. It is crazy. So we spent a lot of time celebrating birthdays, and it was great. I thought that it would be fun to do. Talk about mushrooms today. Partly just because mushrooms are on my mind because they're so huge in ceramics and pottery and decor. But I've been making a bunch of glass mushrooms and stuff too. I love mushrooms. The decor of it. Scott grows mushrooms here and there. He used to grow quite a few different kinds. But it got me thinking about mushrooms in the sense of historical spirituality. Like, we've all heard of magic mushrooms like peyote here in the US, but what else? So I did some studying and put together an article for you on that. So, of course, I called this week's magazine the Mystical Magical Mushroom Edition. And even if you don't like to eat mushrooms, and some people don't, mushrooms are pretty amazing. Now, we like to mushroom. We like to go out in the spring and hunt for morels and hopefully find enough that to dry some for to use over the winter and whatnot. We like to look for puffballs during the summer, chanterelles. Mushrooming is a little dicey. You really do need to know what you're finding and if it's safe, obviously. I mean, people have been killed by mushrooms. And in fact, there was a case out of Australia that just barely finished trial. A lady that made beef Wellington and had invited her in-laws and one of her mother-in-law's sister and her soon-to-be ex-husband, they were in the middle of a divorce, over to her home for lunch so that they could discuss some things. And she served them beef Wellingtons, little individual wellies that she'd made, with death cap mushrooms that she had picked. It wasn't an accident. She and the kids' servings didn't have death caps. Her ex-husband got smart and didn't come and saved himself. But unfortunately, three people died from what she did. And she's going to prison forever, obviously. But yes, mushrooms can be really dangerous and should be treated really, really carefully. I've had the luxury of having a good friend that is a mushroom or a mushroom expert. And so if when in doubt, I just send her a picture and she lets me know. But at any rate, always be super careful with mushrooms. That's the disclaimer, right? But let's talk about mushrooms from a more spiritual perspective. I mean, mushrooms are amazing to me because they pop up in the forest in places where there was nothing, because a lot of, I mean, they come up like sometimes overnight. Morels especially, man. You can search a whole spot with nothing and the next day have it be loaded. It's crazy. Puffballs too, but I know other mushrooms as well. But mushrooms that grow in interesting places, like on the sides of trees or on a dead log or in places where there is no sun coming through. Just interesting places. And mushrooms, as you know, show up in the craziest colors and shapes and patterns and designs. They're just really interesting. Indigenous Siberian shamans worked with the Amanita muscaria. That's, that red cap with the white spots that you see. Very dangerous mushroom if not used correctly. So these guys knew what was up. To be, they knew how to use them safely. Most people sh would not, should not. But this is the mushroom that they used to open doorways to the spirit world. They weren't tripping. They were in communion with ancestors, with spirits and the hidden forces of nature. They were using them to open up doors in their own intuition, in their own spirit, their own spirituality. So in Mesoamerican sacred mushrooms, there's a lot of ideas, ways that they were used. The Aztecs called sacred mushrooms the Tiahuanacatl, the flesh of the gods. They believed that mushrooms were gifts from the divine, allowing them to speak with gods, see visions, and receive prophetic insight. Mushroom ceremonies were held for healing, guidance before battles, and deep communion with the spirit world. I read this and I feel like this is kind of like an ayahuasca event, right? They had mushroom ceremonies that were held for healing, guidance before battles, and of course, communing with the spirit world. They had priests and healers that acted as those guides, a lot like ayahuasca ceremonies now. The Maya used mushrooms, and in fact, archaeological finds in Guatemala and southern Mexico have mushroom-shaped stone sculptures that are over 2,000 years old. So that's a pretty good indication that mushroom worship or the use of mushrooms in worship was part of their spiritual tradition. The Huichol and Mazatec practices, so this was in Mexico. They also had sacred mushroom ceremonies for centuries. They also used healers, like Maria Sabina. She was a really famed healer from that era who brought a lot of global attention to the use of the psilocybin mushrooms that, we hear about now. People still use. And in fact, a lot of people use peyote type mushrooms now. In micro doses for pain management and other things. I know I'm not silly, but for the Mazatec, their ceremonies are held in candlelight, accompanied by prayer, chanting, song, and the goal of bringing physical, emotional, and spiritual harmony. For the Huichol, better known as the peyote practice, as we know, they also use mushrooms as spirit allies in rites of vision and initiation. In Andean and Amazonian views, in parts of the Andes, there's some non-psychoactive fungi that were and still are used in folk medicine and for cleansing and protection rituals. I thought that was interesting, cleansing and protection. In the Amazon, again, we know they still use ayahuasca all the time with in plant medicine, but they also work with mushrooms to connect with forest spirits and seek guidance for hunting, community, well-being, and healing. Mushrooms also have appeared as a symbol of transformation here and there throughout history. So in Mesoamerican cosmology, mushrooms were represented as a bridge between worlds, the li living and the dead, the physical and the spiritual. They were portals for shamans to travel between realms to seek healing and knowledge, which I think is really interesting stuff. All right, so in the Americas, we know the Aztecs, of course, flesh of the gods for sacred visions, healing, and prophecy. And we know they were consumed by priests before in ritual for important ceremonies or rituals. We know that the Mayas had mushroom-shaped carvings, spiritual portals, divine messengers, and markers of transformation. Then we talked about Oaxaca, Mexico. About the nighttime mushroom ceremonies, and then the Huichol and the Amazonians. Really interesting. So let's talk about some mushroom magic around the world. In Siberia, the Amanita muscaria, that's the white spot, right? We talked about that. And the shamans used it for travel, divination, and weather magic. Weather magic, isn't that fascinating? They open the doorway between physical and spirit realms. In China and Japan, the reishi mushroom. People still swear by the reishi, right? If you buy mushroom coffee, some people swear by mushroom coffee. Scott loves it. It usually has reishi in it. It usually has lion's mane in it and other mushrooms that are being combined to help with health issues. No barking. We also know that the reishi was known as the mushroom of immortality. It was used for longevity, vitality, and spiritual clarity. We know that Taoist immortals were depicted in ancient art as a divine gift with mushrooms. In Africa, the Bantu and San peoples, they use certain wild mushrooms to be seen as gifts from ancestral spirits. I mean, I love that theory. You think about walking through the forest and seeing where a mushroom has popped up as a gift to you from an ancestral spirit. Cool. Love every minute of it. They consumed in ritual feasts to honor the dead and seek blessings. In the Pacific Islands, fungi and food offerings during harvest and rain calling rituals. We know that mushrooms linked to the spirits of land and water. Honey, you are the one that wanted to come in here. You gotta stop barking. His brother's telling him something exciting going on out there. Okay, in Europe. And this would be in Celtic and Norse traditions. The symbolism of mushrooms as fairy dwellings and portals to the other world. Have you ever seen a fairy ring? Fairy rings of mushrooms are so cool. This is where you'll see a whole ring of mushrooms. And there was all kinds of like fairy and Celtic beliefs around that. One is that if you stepped into a fairy ring, that was stepping into the realm of the fae. There was a belief sometimes that if you stepped into a fairy ring, that you may be held there for 100 years. A bunch of beliefs around that. Fairy rings were a warning of magical mischief or secret blessings if approached respectfully and correctly. And that, I think, is amazing. They were also in Appalachia. They saw these fairy rings as spirit meeting places that you shouldn't deserve or disturb unless you want to be haunted. So, like, I don't know, maybe don't do that. Crazy stuff. I love it. But we see fairy rings all the time where I'm at. I don't know if you guys see them where you are, but out in the forest and the places that we go looking for mushrooms, you'll see fairy rings pretty often. I've even seen them in my yard before. Okay, what do mushrooms teach us about spirituality? Well, they teach us patience, because even though it might look like they grew up overnight, they've been working underground for a long time before they decide to pop up out of the ground to shine. We also know that they turn decay into new life. And, you know, you'll see mushrooms grow from every place. Not uncommon at all to see mushrooms growing directly out of fecal matter, things like that. Or anytime, any place that you get, like our compost heap out in our pasture, a lot of times gets random mushrooms in it. It's a good place for them to grow. Everything they need is there. They speak of interconnection. Their mycelium networks mirror the unseen connections between all living things. And mystery. They remind us that the most magical things grow in the shadows. If you want to connect with mushrooms, I wrote you a little mushroom ritual. The idea would be to go into the woods and find a mushroom. Or your yard, or wherever. We have a local park that in the summer, early in the morning before they mow, if you go out there, you will find an absolute ton of mushrooms growing. And a lot of mushroomers will try and get out there really early because they mow early. There's even been some battles between locals and the city, like, can you not mow that early? Because we're out here mushrooming. I've not mushroomed there because it makes me somewhat nervous. Because what's the city putting on that lawn? Like, you know, forest mushrooming is one thing, but what kind of pesticides and shit have they put on that lawn that you might be actually eating, right? That makes me super, super nervous. So I'm not that interested in that, but But I know that they took a lot of chanterelles out there. Okay, so here's the thought that you find a mushroom and sit with it. Observe it in stillness. Feel gratitude for its role as nature's recyclers and healers. Spend some time meditating on transformation and maybe thinking about what needs to be released or composted so that new growth can emerge. It's a good reminder that out of death, out of release, comes new life. And then leave an offering. You might leave a pinch of cornmeal or herbs or a whispered blessing or something else that you feel, compelled to leave. Mushrooms are ancient teachers. Mushrooms have been on this planet since this planet has been a planet. The fungi on this planet has been growing forever. There are mushrooms in every part of the world. Mushrooms have been long withstanding growing beings on our planet in a way that, in some ways, they've outlived everything. Mushrooms also feed all kinds of wildlife. They also feed each other. They feed just the natural biome of where they are. Mushrooms are magic. Even if you're not using them in that, magic mushroom way. Renee gets them in her yard too, but they are not the edible kind. Oh, interesting. I get the edible kind in my yard and I don't eat them because, well, I know what's in my yard. It's not pesticides and stuff, it's more, what comes from pigs. And I know I'm being weird, but I just can't bring myself to eat that. Tara said, I love making mushroom crafts. I make mushroom-shaped dish scrubbies because the squares are boring, right? Agree. They're so cute. So freaking cute. I know. I've done a ton of mushroom stuff. I will never quit. I love them. You get them too, Tara. Yeah. Cool. I get super excited every time I see a mushroom. Even though, we get ones around here called brain mushrooms that are kind of more in the mountains above us, but and they do look like a brain, and they are poisonous as hell. So you cannot be eating those. All right. Well, moving on from mushroom, and you might have noticed I changed all of the art in Luminous to mushrooms for the month. Because I could. Because I've got mushrooms on the brain, so that's what's happening now. Wow, Sid said they had so many mushrooms from tons of rain last year, she made time to dig them out. She didn't want them multiplying. Okay. Even had them in your pots. Wow. That's awesome. I once in a rare while will see one pop up in one of my plants in my house, which always amazes me. Like, where did those spores come from? But mushroom spores are everywhere. In watching Scott growing mushrooms and trying to keep a what they call a clean room, which is basically a little tent area that you like inject your spores into your hay or your straw or your whatever like substrate you're using, the chance of getting wild mushroom spores in and kind of muffing up your stuff is high. When they like places that grow mushrooms, like in like large facilities, huge steps are taken to purify the air and to protect the air there, to protect their mushroom spores from wild ones that could come in and cause havoc. Because it's really prevalent. I would say that there are mushroom spores amongst us everywhere. You just don't know it. Oh, Laura said they had took down a birch and they had a gorgeous turkey tail growing on the roots that remain. Oh, turkey tails are so cool. I love oyster mushrooms too that grow up the sides of trees. So pretty. We grew some pink oyster mushrooms a while back that were absolutely gorgeous as well. Oysters come in all kinds of different colors. They're really awesome. Oh, Sid said by default, I do have a red mushroom theme going on in my front yard, thanks to a really cute mushroom stool and Walmart's garden frog and red mushrooms. I love it. That's fun. All right, so moving on to Kelly's. So last week, Kelly had an article about water warriors and about a bunch of women that are fighting for water equality and fighting against water being used as currency because it's really freaking wrong and scary for water to be used that way. Water scarcity is a huge issue. It's a very scary issue across the planet. And there's women in many countries that have become the front runners in fighting for water equality and water for the people and clean water for the people. And so last week she wrote an article about it. This week she expanded on that, but she also put out her podcast episode. So if you look in Luminous here, the pink, this is a pink hyperlink that says the podcast episode is out now. Women Water Warriors, go listen. It is so fascinating. It is, these women are such baddies. But this article is also about some of these women and what they have done to fight for water, for clean water, for water availability, and so on. So be sure you check that out. It's amazing. I think water is something that's very easy to take for granted when you live in a country like the US or Canada where we have water, you know? And yeah, maybe you'll get a limit put on you for watering your lawn, or you know, there's times where sometimes water's limited somewhat, but you'll nearly always be able to turn on the tap and have more water. There likely won't ever be a day in your life that you can't just run another glass, that you can't just drink as much water as you want to. It's a huge problem for homeless people, from unhoused people across the world that don't have access to that. And you think about what it means to not have access to water. It means you have to buy water, and buying water is expensive if you don't have any money. And water is a basic building block of life. If you don't have water, you're in big trouble. You can go a long time without food, but you cannot go that long without water. Your body has to have it. I really honor those that are fighting for water equality. There was a study several years ago that came out that helped to see a little bit how some of these companies, and it was Nestle, most specifically, that was owning water and selling it back to communities and countries in a way that was so unethical and terrifying. To think that a corporation could own the water and you'd have to pay to be able to access it. Not good. Now, where I live, of course, I live very rural, and agriculture here is king, and water is everything to our farmers. So there's two kinds of farming here. There's irrigation farming, where they do water their crops, and then there's dry farming. And there's big swaths of land where they dry farm, meaning that they don't water. It's usually where they grow grain of some sort. And the yield is less. And yet, it's worth it in the sense that they don't have to worry about watering because watering is big business in agriculture. Pivots on land. Pivots are a giant, basically a giant rotating sprinkler. That's enormous. They're hundreds of thousands of dollars a piece. When I was a kid, it was a lot of kids had jobs moving pipe. So it's the sprinkler pipes that fit together And I knew lots of kids that would be out of bed at 5 a.m. on somebody's farm, moving pipe every day to the next area so that it could get watered, and that was a huge deal. Without water, we don't have food. Period. So water here is a huge conversation. It's a never-ending conversation amongst the farmers and the ranchers that rely on that water to be able to grow our food. All right. Moving on to my tip of the week, I'm sharing essential oils for abundance. If you've ever wondered what oils would be good to work for, or work for, you're going to work for some oils? Maybe work with, probably. Cinnamon. Cinnamon's the number one, I think. Cinnamon has a warm, spicy aroma, of course. It invites financial success and prosperity. You can diffuse it very carefully. Be so careful with cinnamon. I heard an advisor one time, this has been a long time ago, say, and I'm not gossiping, I'm telling you a story, but tell people to put straight cinnamon oil on their lips. Because it's so good for your lips. And I had a heart attack. Don't ever do that. Don't put straight cinnamon oil on yourself anywhere at any time. If you're going to use cinnamon oil, be very careful. And if you get it on your hands, like if you're putting it on a candle or in a diffuser, absolutely do not touch your eyes or your face or your nethers for that matter. You'll be damn sorry. Cinnamon is very potent and it burns like hell. So if you're going to use cinnamon on your body, you're going to cut that with a carrier oil by a lot. Meaning like a drop of cinnamon oil to a few drops of a carrier. And even that might be hot. So be very careful with cinnamon oil. Don't hurt yourself with it. If you've done it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's awful. So be smart and careful with cinnamon, please. But great one for prosperity work. Patchouli. Patchouli is earthy, has a real grounding scent. It attracts material and spiritual abundance. People use it in perfumes and meditation practices. Frankincense is spiritually uplifting, enhances the connection to divine abundance, and can be diffused during prayer or blend with other oils. And I mean, frankincense, to me, frankincense is another great one for abundance because frankincense is a rare and expensive oil. It's a really special oil to me. And you can easily, safely wear patchouli or frankincense and do whatever you want to with it. Bergamot or bergamot. I love bergamot. It's my favorite essential oil. Actually, we're probably right between frankincense and bergamot. They're both on my list. But bergamot has a fresh citrusy aroma. It promotes joy, happiness, and prosperity. You can diffuse it, put it in the bath or massage blends. You can make a room spray from it. You can put it directly on your skin if you're not photosensitive. Being photosensitive means that if you put it on your skin and go out in the sunshine, it might make you more susceptible to the sun. So, not everyone is photosensitive, but do know that about yourself. My mom was terribly photosensitive, and even eating too much citrus would create a sun issue for her. So, you have to know that about yourself. Rosemary. Rosemary stimulates mental clarity and focus, it enhances productivity and goal manifestation. You can use it in diffusers or infused body oils. You can certainly wear rosemary if you want to. Love it. Love rosemary for a lot of things. So you could consider blending any of these oils together to make like a prosperity blend if you wanted to. You could make a room spray or, just like a diffuser blend. Lots of things you could do. Yeah, Sid said they put cinnamon in lymph plumping products. And that over time, those lip glosses wind up drying out your lips, and plumping is achieved via irritation. Yes. Well, cinnamon is going to draw more blood to the surface because of the irritation that it causes. Yep. Okay, Christy's energy exercise this week is the Divine Spark. Lots of crime over at True Crime Squad. It's always happening. If you don't like the heavy duty stuff, this Thursday episode here is a great one to listen to because it was a crazy crime roundup of just crazy stuff that happened. We had three, I think, true crime songs that we wrote about funny stuff that had happened in crime. So that's kind of a fun one to listen to. Lots of meditations over at Planet Meditation. And that is Luminous for the week. Okay. Let's take a look. Oh my goodness. I got plans going. So for Christmas for Christy, I bought her a pass to a petting zoo in Tacoma where you can have unfettered time with capybaras because she feels about capybaras about the same way I feel about otters. And so I decided it would be very fun to plan a girls' trip where she gets to actually have a one-on-one with a capybara. So we've been planning this trip all year and we're going in September. So yesterday we finally sat down and made our reservations, and Matea's getting our plane ticket squared away today. They also have an otter experience. So, but also with all of them, you had to book at least two people. So I'm booked for the capybara experience and the otter experience. That's right. The only thing I didn't book was the sloth experience, which would have been cool too, but you know, how much money do I spend on this? So anyway, in September we are flying to Seattle, well, to Tacoma, go to Debbie Doolittle's to hold the otters and play with the capybaras. And what's a capybara? Oh, Lillian, capybaras are I'll pull up a picture for you. They are a giant rodent. They're like the world's biggest rodent. They look like an enormous guinea pig. They're from South America, and they are cute as hell. And I mean, they're pretty good size. They're not little like guinea pigs at all, but they're also quite sweet, and they've gotten to be, they're fun. People adore them. Hold on, I'll get a picture pulled up so you can see what a capybara looks like. There you go. That's a capa mommy and a couple of cappy babies. Aren't they cute? Oh my God. Yeah. Sherry, you didn't know either? Oh gosh. Okay. So sweet. I love them so much. Anyway, so come September, I'm going to be giving one of these guys a big hug. My dogs will be so mad when I come home smelling like capybaras. They're judging you, right? Well, now you just have to go look them up and look for some videos so that you can just see like what they do. They are wild. They're so funny. So anyway, exciting stuff. But also this weekend, Sid said in her town there's a cafe that has cappies. See? Kind of become a thing where you can have coffee and hang out with them. There's also one with kitties, and I wish there was one with dogs. Yes. Oh, Lillian said she thought the same thing this morning, that she wishes there was a dog cafe. It's a great idea. You know, when I had Healing Hands, there were people that came in every day just to see Skippy. Remember Skippy, my little black and white chihuahua? People would come in daily. I had two different men that would come in on their lunch breaks every day, just to sit in the sanctuary center and hold Skippy for a little while because it was just good for their hearts. Yeah. So, anyway, exciting business. But also, I'm going with my sisters to Salt Lake City in a few days to see Cyndi Lauper in concert. You guys, do you want to feel old as hell? Cyndi Lauper is 72 years old. Yeah, loved her when I was a kid. Oh my God. We loved her so much. So, for my birthday and for Kara's birthday, that's what Christy and Rhonda bought us, were tickets to Cyndi Lauper. So, we're going. I ordered a shirt that is like, the t-shirts that were like one that's on off the shoulder. Real 80s for me. We ordered jelly bracelets. We've got feathers on roach clips to clip in our hair. I've been practicing a side ponytail. We'll see how that goes. Lillian, I know, babe, but aren't we all still like, I still feel like I just graduated from high school and I'm like, my heroes. And then I have to remember that I am nearly 50. Age is just a number. But this is her farewell tour, and she's only, this is almost her last show. She only has a couple more after the one that we're seeing, so I'm very excited. But yeah, we're going straight 80s. I even bought some these big wild plastic earrings. I have to run to the dollar store today to get some blue eyeshadow. You know what I really wish I could find is some blue mascara. Do you remember that shit? Yeah, I would rock that. It was actually really pretty on brown eyes. So anyhow, I don't think I'll be able to find it anywhere. Partly because I'm not going to search that hard. This girl is not going to the mall. So, anyway, we're excited. It's going to be fun. Right, 75 going on 25. Correct. Let's get to a few readings. Lillian, I owe you a birthday reading because last week, if you remember, the internet just would not carry. But I wanted to run back to the beginning. Tara said, if you're doing readings later, I would love if you can tune into my cat Raven. He was recently diagnosed with diabetes and wondered if there are other concerns. Let's take a look at Raven. And I'm so sorry, dang it. Seems like that's gotten more prevalent in cats. Really, the thing that comes up for me, Tara, is just overall pancreatic health. Because obviously, the pancreas has to do with the diabetes, but also, the thing that came up for me was pancreatitis or other pancreas worries. So I would just do a little research on the making sure you're feeding him the thing that, your vet recommends for protecting his pancreas and taking good care of it. He definitely is feeling up and down. He feels very tired to me, which is probably blood sugar evening out. We'll keep an eye on that, or you'll keep an eye on that, I know, but poor dude. But he's got a good mama to help take care of him through that. Let's see. Thank you, Laurie. Lara said, thanks for your input on my back last week. I got two adjustments at my chiro. Have another appointment tomorrow. It's better, but not great. And I'm so ungrounded and groggy. Yeah, let's get you grounded. That kind of stuff, and especially like pain like that, especially, is very ungrounding. So let's get you put back into place. Okay. This is getting your root really centered here. And then your crown is really big, so I'm going to pull that way down. And really hold space with you that this last session here will really turn the page for you, and your body will start really responding in kind, and you'll start feeling better. Sorry you had to go through this. It sucks. Okay, got that crown balanced up a lot better. Good. Okay. Okay, Lillian, let's pull some cards for you. I know we kind of did this last week and just couldn't quite get through it, so. Okay, so the first card that I pulled, and I was just asking, blue mascara is still a thing? Okay, good. Maybe I can find some. I thought that would be fun. Yeah. All right, Lillian, the first card I pulled is actually the emotional loss card. So I just pulled three cards, just kind of looking at the landscape of the year. And this card, I feel like, is you still just continuing to pull back from people that just don't actually, resonate with you anymore. I feel like there's kind of some bitter, sweet energy there, kind of some disappointment, in people that you know and that you just don't vibe with any longer. I also feel like your birthday brings up some grief and just some really great memories with your family and then also and with your loved ones and also just some loss. So big reminder here to take care of your heart and allow yourself to feel your feelings, and it's okay. And also reach out. This is a really good time for you to reach out to people that you do vibe with, for a chat, for some support, for some friendship. Let people love you. The second part is love begins. This is later on in this year. Could be a relationship, it also could just be a friendship. It could be a friend group. This could just be a growth of relationships in general, but this looks really sweet to me coming up for you this year. Some good community. And then finally, the base chakra card. So this is root chakra. So deeper on into your birthday year, this is a spot where you work on your root more, which is interesting to me because I know you've kind of been in a flux of how long do you want to live where you are. And are you going to uproot yourself at some point? And I wonder if the root chakra card has something to do with that. So I guess we'll see. But a happiest of birthdays to you, my friend. What a milestone. Okay. Sherry would love a card, you betcha. All right, Sherry. This is so interesting because we had that emotional loss card for Lillian. You pulled the emotional withdrawal card. This was actually one of the cards I pulled when I wrote the Daily Dish this morning as well. We are just. We don't want people in our space right now. Get out. I think this is you at work very much, just pulling back from people, just really kind of setting up some walls around yourself so that you can just do your work and everyone else can just push off. Interesting. Emotional withdrawal is not a bad thing. It can be over time if you find yourself just isolating yourself right and left, but sometimes some emotional withdrawal is good for you to just pull yourself back from things that are too much, that could be overwhelming you or causing harm to you. So, but that's where I see you right now. is just needing some space from other people and other people's just energy in general. Okay. Okay, Suzanne says she thinks Maybelline has blue mascara. Well, I've just got to go do my homework. I'm just not buying makeup in the right place, apparently. All right, lastly, Sid said, can you explain to Mr. Darcy that he's to ring his doggy doorbell anytime he wants to alert me that he needs to go potty, that I don't need to be with him at the door? Sure. Let's go. Let me tune into Darcy. Yeah, I'm just showing him. He'll just ring that doorbell. It tells you exactly what you need to know. That's still going to take some practice. He kind of gets it, but in the moment he forgets and would rather use his voice. But I'm just showing him that that would clear some things up for you and just make it a little easier. All right, we'll see what he does. Yes. Sherry said the door at work is shut. Oh, that's funny. All righty. Well, we've done it. We've talked down to the end of the show. I'll be back next week, same place, same time. But don't forget that I am a professional psychic advisor over at 1-2-Listen. And like I said, today is a really good sale day. So it's a great day to connect and come over and ask for a reading or do it via chat. That's a good way too. So I would love to talk to you. And as always, this has been yet another production of The Katie Weaver Show here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world.